In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
So there was a famous Canadian evangelical preacher named Harry Ironside. He tells a story of a time he boarded a ship back in 1910. Went to his stateroom with his belongings after boarding and discovered he had a cabin mate, which he was not expecting. He thought he had a single room. Sizing up this man's appearance, Reverend Ironside quietly took his valise, his briefcase, with his valuables, took it to the ship's purser and asked her to keep the valuables in the ship's safe, because in his words, his cabin mate did not appear trustworthy. The purser, of course, accepted the valuables and said, "Of course, Reverend, I'd be glad to put these in the safe for you." And as she handed Reverend Ironside his receipt, she said, "Funny thing, the other man, your cabin mate, was just here for the same reason." In his autobiography, Reverend Ironside said, "That moment was a wake-up call." He realized that for all his theological knowledge, for all his biblical study, for all his hours of prayer and worship, for all his intellectual faith, none of that had actually changed him. Oh, it changed his behavior, to be sure. I mean, he was honest in his dealings with others. He kept himself pure for his marriage. He wasn't an extortioner. He did tithe 10% of his income to his church. But what Reverend Ironside realized that all that study and knowledge and intellectual faith had not changed his heart. It had not softened his heart towards his fellow man, especially someone of a different class than he was accustomed to. And Reverend Ironside says that from that moment, a changed and softened heart became his lifelong goal. Now today, as we embark on our long and beautiful journey to Lent, to Holy Week, to Pascha, and ultimately to Pentecost, we begin with a story that reveals the goal of it all. And that goal is indeed a changed and softened heart. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The first one, a Pharisee, the most religious in a religious society, the strictest, most ascetic, most intellectual. Our Pharisee in the story is remarkably similar to how the younger Reverend Ironside describes himself. He's well-read theologically. He behaves himself. He's not an extortioner. He's not an adulterer. He meets his tithing responsibility. And what did that get the Pharisee in our story? It gets him a cold and judgmental and hard heart, one that looks down on his fellow man. You know, St. Cyril of Alexandria, in his commentary, he mocks the Pharisee just a little bit. He says, "So you're better than an extortioner. So you're better than an adulterer. So what? So what? Avoiding extortion is not a particularly difficult standard to meet," writes St. Cyril. You know, show me a changed heart, and I'll show you someone who has the grace of God working in them. You know, instead of all this theological knowledge and all these religious practices, instead of these things softening his heart, they made his heart colder and harder and more closed off and more judgmental. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus himself said to the priests of Jerusalem, he says, and mind you, priests were the most theologically educated, the most religious in practice, and seen by the masses as closest to God. And Jesus says to the clergy, he says, "Tax collectors and harlots will get into the kingdom of heaven long before you do." Now, does this mean that religious practices are bad? Of course not. Religious practices are good, and they're edifying, and we would say even essential. But they can become a trap, an end in themselves. Or to put it another way, very few people confuse extortion and adultery with God, right? Who does that? But lots of people over the centuries have confused Bible reading or church attendance or proper icons or liturgical minutiae or fasting practices. People frequently confuse their religious duties with God. And they do so to their own peril. You know, God is about a changed and illumined life. God is about a changed and softened heart. And that's why the church begins our long journey with this very lesson. And this leads us to the tax collector in today's story. Now, we all know by now what a tax collector was in first century Jewish society. He was a thief, an extortioner, a traitor to his own people, to his own neighbors, to his own family even. And yet it's precisely the tax collector that Jesus chooses to illustrate the potential for a changed heart. And by putting this parable at the very beginning of our Lenten journey, the church chooses the tax collector as your model, as your hero for your own spiritual journey. Now think about that. Think about that. The church says that your model for the spiritual journey is not the religious person. Your model for the spiritual journey is the repentant person, the person with a changed mind and with a changed and softened heart. And that's exactly what happens with the tax collector. He arrives at the temple in a state of sin. And somehow the grace of God finally cracks his greedy and stubborn and self-serving heart. He sees what he has become when he stands in the back in the corner in the temple, and he repents. He changes his mind about how he leads his life, and he begs God for mercy. And this next line is crucial. Jesus says of the tax collector, he returned to his house. He went back to his house justified. Now, justified means set right with God. But why does Jesus say he went back to his house justified? Why not just say, and he was justified when he repented? Why put the part in about going back to his house? It's to demonstrate that his changed heart was permanent, that it continued into his everyday life. It stuck. It wasn't just a religious observance in the temple. It wasn't just the spiritual feeling he had while the singing was going on, but it's something he took home with him, a repentance that informed the rest of his life. He went back home justified. You know, in his epistle to Timothy that Krista read for us today, Paul tells his friend Timothy to follow his changed life. Paul doesn't tell Timothy to follow the religious rigors of when Paul used to be a Pharisee, but to imitate the long-lasting changes of true repentance, his manner of life, his purpose, his patience, his faith, and above all, his love. Paul's love for Jesus Christ, Paul's love for the people of God, and Paul's love even for the world that they might find life. It is this soft and loving heart that Paul tells Timothy to follow. On a ship back in 1910, Reverend Harry Ironside had an epiphany that for all his theological knowledge and for all his biblical study and for all his prayer, none of that had changed him. None of that had changed him. None of that had entered his heart. And from that moment, a changed heart became his lifelong goal. So today, as we embark on our long and beautiful journey through Lent to Pascha and ultimately to Pentecost, may we have as our goal the lesson of the tax collector, taking to our homes and taking to our daily lives a changed and softened heart. Amen.